Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. History is repeating. With the open Bible before them and the professing to reverence its teaching, many of the religious leaders of our time are destroying faith in it as the Word of God. They busy themselves with dissecting the Word and set their own opinions above the plainest statements. In their hands, God's Word loses its regenerating power. This is why infidelity runs riot and iniquity is rife. When Satan has undermined faith in the Bible, he directs men to other sources for light and power. Thus he insinuates himself. Those who turn from the plain teaching of the Scriptures and the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit are inviting the control of demons. Criticism and speculation concerning the Scriptures have opened the way for Spiritism and Theosophicism, those modernized forms of ancient hedonism, to gain a foothold even in the professed churches of our Lord Jesus Christ. Side by side with the preaching of the gospel, agency is at work, which are but the medium of lying spirits. Many a man tampers with these merely from curiosity, but seeing evidence of the working of a more than human power, he is lured on and on, until he is controlled by a will stronger than his own. He cannot escape from its mysterious power. The defense of the souls are broken down. He has no barrier against sin. When once the restraints of God's word and the spirit are rejected, no man knows to what depth of degradation he may sink. Secret sin or master passion may hold him as captive, as helpless as the demonic of Capernaum. Yet his condition is not hopeless.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again we are most grateful and thankful to be in the land of the living today. As we look around and see all the signs we fulfill, Father, help us now more than ever before to prepare our lives for your Son's return. We pray for our listeners today that your Holy Spirit will pour them in a mass way, and they will understand what that said the Lord had to say to them. I also pray for the members of this team here today that we'll allow your Spirit to speak through us to your people. And when all is said and done, Father, we pray that we, along with our family members and friends, will be saving your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our regular listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. Up to this point, we have been discussing the end times event, but the program is now going to take a new twist. What we're going to do for the first couple of minutes or minute or so is to look at the headlines of the day and see if there's anything the Bible speaks about concerning these headlines. We want to thank all of those of our listeners who called in on August the 4th on our call-in show, and we are planning to have another one on September the 11th, 2006. Because the last shows that we had dealt, we seemed to have more calls on the Sabbath, we're going to spend the full 2 hours of September the 11th on dealing with the Sabbath. So if you have any questions or comments, you can call us at 322-6273, that is 322-6273, or you could write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit our website where you'll find the email address of Paul, Renrick, and Julian, where you can email us any questions that you might have. Our website address is www.tpministries.org. Now, if you have any questions concerning the Sabbath that you might want us to answer on the air, please give us a call or write us or visit our website or even email us and let us know what questions you might want us to ask so we could do some research and maybe give you an answer from the Scriptures or world history. If you're listening this afternoon, you want to comment on the show that you're hearing this afternoon, you can give us a call right now at 322-6273. But before we go into our program this afternoon, we want to make one request. As most of you might be aware, Turning Point Ministries is a self-supporting ministry. That is, the ministry supported by some of our listeners, Brother Paul, Brother Renrick, and myself, that's Julian. And once again, or for the first time, we're asking for your assistance. If you can help, you can give us a call or you can write us to assist us in putting on especially the call-in shows. We would like some assistance if the shows have been a blessing to you, we would like for you to call in to help us and assist us on putting on some of these call-in shows on a more regular basis. Thank you, and may God richly bless you in that regard. But before we begin our discussion this afternoon, Rich will be dealing with some of the issues that came up in our last call-in show that was on August the 4th. We're going to ask Brother Paul to say a few words before we begin.
Thank you very much, Brother Julian. Once again, like Brother Julian said at the beginning of every program, if there's anything interesting from the newspapers or from the news during the week, we're going to try to enlighten our readers and those who read the paper from time to time on what's going on. Well, this week, past week, the crawfish season had opened, and there's a lot of discussion in the news about what should we do with this crawfish dispute. Some people say the crawfish season should be opened up a little bit earlier or a little bit later to try to save this industry or save the species of animal, the crawfish. But you know, if you go to your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 14, Leviticus chapter 11, the crawfish season was never opened. As a matter of fact, God never opened it. He tells us clearly in chapter 14, verse 1 of Deuteronomy, that you and I should be the children of the Lord our God. And if we are children of the Lord our God, he said, we are holy people unto the Lord. And we are peculiar people unto him. And God has chosen us to be that peculiar people unto himself. And that we should not eat any abominable things. And then in verse 9 of that chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, he says, anything that we eat from the water should have fins and scales. And then in verse 10 he says, whosoever creature from the water that doesn't have fins and scales, it's unclean to us. And that principle still applies. So today, if any crawfish man, or fisherman I should say, is guilty of taking things from the sea that he is not permitted to take, crawfish, conch, or lobster, he is committing a sin. He is committing the sin that thou should not steal. Then, another thing coming out of the newspaper this week, on tomorrow night, at one of our local churches, they're not going to be open to have a revival service. They're not going to be open to have a crusade. They're going to be open to have a comedy act, a religious comedy act. Can you believe it? When Matthew 12 is quite clear, that every idle word we should speak, we are given account for, therefore, in the judgment. Then Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 24, that no man can serve two masters. And the problem is the church now is what wants to imitate the world. In that same Matthew chapter 12, it says, no good tree can bring forth a corrupt fruit. And no corrupt tree can bring forth a good fruit. So the Bible is quite clear. God's word means what he says. And he says, by our words we should be justified, and by our words we should be condemned. So if you have your tickets on the shelf right now to go to that service tomorrow, you need to think about it. Read Matthew 12, 32 to 37, and Matthew 6, 24, and ask yourself, which master are you serving if you should go to this so-called religious comedian act tomorrow night?
You know, Brother Paul, Brother Julian, and to all our listeners, the Apostle Paul had words of advice and encouragement. You know, being led by the Holy Spirit, he had some words of advice to young Timothy. And this is what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. I'll just leave it right there.
Okay, Brother Henrik, as you are aware, the show that we had on August the 4th, many questions came up concerning the Sabbath. So I just want to we're going to do a little overview of some of those that came up. One of the callers called in and talked about that the Sabbath was given to the Jews. Could you tell us, when was the Sabbath given and by whom?
Well, for us to find out when was the Sabbath given, we have to look back at Creation Week. And when we look back at Creation Week, we see at the start of the week, you know, Genesis 1 and verse 3, that God created light. He separated the light from the darkness, and he said that evening and the morning, that this was the first day. When we go down to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11, we see that God created the trees, the fruits, the grass, and he said that this was the third day. Again, as we go further through Creation Week, and we come down to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, we see that God created man. He created man in his own image and his own likeness. And God said out of his own mouth that this was the sixth day. And now we come down to when the Sabbath day was given. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, and it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So the answer is clear. God created the Sabbath day, and it was given to mankind by God.
Brother Paul, many persons call in and gave comments after the show to us in the fact that they believe that we were saying that only the Catholic Church made comments on the Sabbath. Is this true? And what have other churches had to say concerning the Sabbath?
Notice Natural Brother Julian, and I invite those who have internet access to go on their computer to our website at www.tpministries.org, and you will see there's a link that says the churches speak. And in that link, we have about 10 to 15 different churches that speak about the importance of God Holy Sabbath Day. To read out today, I'll read you just one of those. And this is coming from Dr. Edward T. Hitchcock, who is the author of the Baptist Manual. And he made this comment to some religious ministers in New York in a conference they held in the year November 13, 1893. And I quote what he says. He says, There is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day, but that Sabbath day was not Sunday. It would be said, however, with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath day was transferred from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. Where can such a record of this transaction be found? He said. Not in the New Testament, he said. Absolutely not. There is no scriptural evidence of the change of the Sabbath, instituted from the seventh day to the first day of the week. To me, it seems uncomfortable that Jesus, or unaccountable, I should say, that Jesus, during his 3 years of intercession with his disciples, often conversed with them upon the Sabbath question and never alluded to any transfer of the day. Also, during the 40 days of his resurrection, no such thing was ever talked about. Of course, I quite well know that Sunday did not come into use in the early Christian history as a religious day, as we learn from our Christian fathers and other sources. But what a pity that it came branded with the mark of paganism and the Christians worshipping the sun god, when adopted and sanctioned by the papal apostasy, and bequeathed as a sacred legacy of Protestantism. So that came from Dr. Herbert T. Hitchcock, and he said, based on his research, there's no place in the scriptures. It came branded with the stamp, he said, of paganism. And today, almost the whole world is worshiping something that they have nowhere of. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a lady on Friday about this, and her husband happened to call, who also worshiped at the Catholic Church. And he said he never knew what that was true until we read it on the air on our call-in show. So a lot of people are not aware of this, ladies and gentlemen. So once again, we invite you to visit the website. And there's a lot of information there on exactly what really went down. And by all means, God was going to lead you into all truth. He don't want you to die in your sins. That's the whole duty of Him, to lead you and I, guide you and I into all truth. So at the end of time, you and I will not be deceived by what's going on in the religious community today.
Brother Renrick, are there any scriptures which we can know for sure which day is the Sabbath?
Absolutely, Brother Julian. And we can look quickly right back in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and we see that creation week. And that during that creation week, God separated one day from the other. He said, this day was the first day, this way was the second day, this day was the third day. And when we get down to the end of the week, we see that God, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 and through 3, and verse 3, I'll read verse 3 again, it says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So we see that during the creation week, that the days of the week were separated, the same 7 days of the week that we have now. And not only were they separated, but one day was pulled apart from all the others, highlighted by God and sanctified and made holy by God. But also we can look in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9 and 10, and it says God again making a distinction between the other 6 days of the week and the seventh day of the week. And Exodus chapter 20 verse 9 says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. So the Bible confirms itself. The Bible backs up itself, and it is shown scripture after scripture that a particular day was set aside by God as a holy day, a holy day of rest that God keeps and that we should keep in obedience and in love.
Brother Paul, we've been on the air now for over 4 years. And we have presented many biblical truth to the people of the Bahamas and whoever is listening. Does the Bible tell us about people abandoning Bible truth in these last days?
Yes, it do. If we should go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience snared with a hot iron. So the Bible is quite clear. that in a lot of times, and we are in a lot of times, that some shall depart from the faith of God's words. And the moment we begin to start doing that, the Bible says we are giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Simply mean that whatever doctrine that you're holding on to, whether it be in your dress, your diet, your comedian acts, whatever they may be, these doctrines must be based on the word of God. And they cannot be established based on the word of God. These doctrines are sent from Satan himself, the deceiver, who is a liar from the beginning of time. And he is still lying today. True ministers of the gospel, true lay people like us here are Turning Point. Any source that he can use, ladies and gentlemen, he is going to use that source. Even sometimes when you watch the television programs, you see the car talking, you see animals talking. But we know for sure that these things cannot talk. But our young children behold these things, and they are confused of what's going on. The devil is at work. And whenever he can try to deceive God's people today, even from little ones, he is going to do that. By all means, let's pray and hope that this deception do not fall upon us as we see time begin to dwindle on.
Brother Renwick, we know as we go from day to day and we study with persons, we know that many of them talk about a change. Because obviously the Bible talks about in Genesis about the seventh day being the Sabbath, and they keep the first day holy. Does the Bible speak of any change to the Sabbath day?
The Bible does not speak of any change to the Sabbath day, Brother Julian. In fact, the Bible is, God's word is clear that man should not make any changes or amendments to his word. And in fact, this is stated quite clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, and it says, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I have commanded thee, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." And also Jesus backs up this same statement later on in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. And he says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." So the Sabbath is a part of God's Ten Commandments law. The Sabbath is a part of God's holy word. And Jesus, and the words of Jesus are quite clear in the scriptures that no change is permitted to take place to his word. And that also includes the Sabbath day. No change was made to the Sabbath day. And the Bible records no authority or no change being made to when the Sabbath day was to take place.
Brother Paul, Brother Renwick just told us that there's no change. But does the Bible tell us about their people trying to change this day? Does that happen in the scripture?
Yes, it do. The Bible tells, as a matter of fact, it starts with the same word, like you say, try, and it says they're going to think to change it. And Daniel chapter 7 verse 25 is a prophecy that was shown to Daniel through a vision. The same vision also was shown to Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel chapter 2 and in Daniel chapter 7, I talk about Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, pagan Rome, papal Rome. But during the reign of papal Rome, Daniel 7:25 was fulfilled. And it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High. And he shall rout the saints of the Most High. And he shall think to change the times and laws. And they shall be given to his hand called time, and dividing of times." Right, if you should do a calculation of that time, times, and dividing of times, that will work out to 1,260 years. Well, the same system that changed the day of which from Saturday to Sunday ruled the world for 1,260 years. They ruled from 538 to 1798. And it was during this time period that they changed the day of worship. At least they think they could have changed it, and they did change it from Saturday to Sunday, but in the courts of heaven, it is still Saturday, the seventh day. And some people like to get mixed up with the names. Well, God is not focusing on the names. He is focusing on the order of the numbers. And like Brother Renwick just read earlier, we still have a seven-day circle in the Bahamas and all around the world. The majority of people still worship on Sunday, and the less of them worship on Saturday. So what's going on? It's fulfillment of Daniel 7:25. The saints, according to Revelation 14:12, are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. They who are the saints, because the Bible says, "Here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus." The saints have the patience to wait for their Savior, which is Jesus Christ. And surely they continue to be abiding in Christ all the days of their life. They would not be found wanting when Christ returns in the cloud of glory.
But Paul, should Christians have the attitude of, or bad attitude when you ask them about what they believe? Or should they be able to give an answer for what they believe?
They should not have a bad attitude. They should always be able to give an answer for what they believe, because the Bible is quite clear in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always." Be ready what? Always to give an answer to how many men? To every man that asks you for the reason of the hope that be with you in meekness and fear. Why is this so impossible? So you will have a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you, your good conversation in Christ. So the Bible says, if you have an answer to give to the people that ask you for the hope that be within you, and your answer is biblical, they will be the ones being ashamed. But if you cannot give an answer, then surely they can look at you as an evildoer, a witchcraft worker, a worker that is sent forth by Satan himself. And how many times you meet ministers of the gospel, or how many times you meet Christian people, and or Christian brothers and sisters, and you ask them to give a reason for why they do certain things, and they develop an attitude. Well, this attitude of this spirit is not of God, because the Bible is quite clear. You should be able to give that answer with meekness and fear. By all means, let's see if we can do this today, ladies and gentlemen. And the only way we can do it, if we are rooted and grounded in God's word.
Brother Henrik, one of the callers on Monday night told us that we keep the Jewish Sabbath. And I guess she was referring to the fact that the children of Israel receiving the commandments of Mount Sinai. Is the Sabbath Jewish? Is the commandment only for the Jews?
Not according to the scriptures, Brother Julian. And as a matter of fact, we need to remember that the Sabbath was instituted, was blessed, was sanctified, was set apart by God, not for the nations of Israel, but it was done during creation week when there was no Jew or Gentile. There was Adam, there was Eve, there was God. God separated the Sabbath day, he blessed the Sabbath day, and he gave it to mankind, not just the Jews. But you know, many people say, you know, we don't want to hear about this Sabbath day stuff, just give me Jesus. You know, let's talk about love and give me Jesus. Okay, well then let's look back at the example that Jesus gave while he walked this earth. And what example did he give? As his custom was, the Bible is repeated and clear, as his custom was, he kept the Sabbath day. And as a matter of fact, if we go back to John chapter 15 and verse 10, the Lord says, If ye keep my commandments, which includes the Sabbath commandment, by the way, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Amen. That's good news. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Which laws was this? Which commandments was this? What statutes was this? It's the same laws, same commandments that are given to all mankind through the Ten Commandments, which includes the Sabbath day. Was Abraham a Jew? I'll leave that question open for you to answer for yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Let's search the scriptures, for in them we find truth, we find life.
I'd like to add to what Brother Renick had to say. You know, our TM text for our radio program for the past 4 years now is Isaiah 8:20, which says, come now, let us reason together. Well, one of the scriptures of the Lord would like to reason with his people today in radio land today is in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, which says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The problem is, we don't want to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We want to treat the word of God as a buffet. We want to take what we want and discriminate or throw away what we do not want. When Jesus is quite clear to his prophet, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Not the whole duty of the Jews or the Gentiles or the Haitians or the Jamaicans or the Bahamians or the West Indies. This is the whole duty of every man on planet Earth. Why? For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The problem is, do we want to hear what God has to say? And because we don't want to hear, this is the reason why we have so much crime and violence, incest, young people having babies out of wedlock. Everything is on the rise because people want to reject the word of the Lord, but they still want it to be peace and safety. Well, let me hasten to say, the only time there will be peace on this earth is when the King of Peace comes, because the Bible is quite clear, it will get worse and worse. According to Matthew 24, and just like Jesus penned it, that's just how it's being played out today, as we see through the radio, the television, and the daily newspaper day after day.
Brother Henrik, one of the things that when we listen to people, they like to talk, but we are now in apostolic times. And I guess that is reference to the that we came after apostles. What day did the apostles keep as a day of worship and holy?
Well, Brother Julian, as I said a few minutes ago, if we truly love the Lord, then let's follow his way. Let's follow his pattern for our lives. And he kept the Sabbath day holy. If we are living in the apostolic age, and every time I turn on the TV, I see another apostle on TV, according to the writing that's on the TV screen. Okay? Now, if people claim that we're in apostolic age and they're apostles today, then let's follow the examples of the apostles. What examples did they leave? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 2. And it says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." As his manner was. This is the same type of theme that we see with referring to Jesus. As his custom was, he worshipped every Sabbath day in the synagogue. And again, Acts chapter 18, verse 1, and it says, 18 verse 4, pardon me, and it says, "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath," speaking of Paul again, "and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." So he didn't only speak to the Jews, but he spoke to the Jews and the Gentiles. When did he do it? Every Sabbath day. Why? Because this was his custom. Why was this his custom? Because this was the example that his Lord laid down, and this was the example that he followed.
Well, a lot of people like to get confused with the Apostle Paul say by saying that because of grace, you know, we don't have to worry about the law. But the Apostle Paul is quite clear in the same Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. He says, "What should we say then? Should we continue in sin, or should we continue to break God's law because now we have grace, that grace may abound?" He said, "No, God forbid. How should we say, who said that we are dead to sin and live any longer therein?" So the Apostle Paul is quite clear that if we are dead to sin, we will not outrightly break the commandments of God.
But Paul, as we live in these last days and we see the confusion going on, and we see the confusion today, what should we be doing?
We should be studying the Scriptures, be along with our families, because the Bible is quite clear that "My people," says God, according to Hosea 4:6, "are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, I'll also reject thee. Because thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I'll also reject thee from being a priest unto me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of the God, I'll also forget thy children." The problem is, do we want God to remember us? Because if we stand guilty of breaking any of his laws, surely he said he would not only reject us, but he would also reject our children. What a sad commentary.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, we have a live call-in show, 2 hours, on September 11th from 8 to 10, and we will be dealing with the Sabbath. If you have any questions or comments, you can call us at 322-6273. And let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O God, for another opportunity and a privilege to come before your throne. God, we ask you, first of all, to forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and to clean our hearts and our minds. And Lord, as we come before you, as we hear these things, as we read these things, we ask for the power and the strength to move in the direction that you would have us to go. Allow your Holy Spirit to move in us, to give us the power and the strength to do that which is right, to do that which you want us to do, is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we get ready to go today, you know, as I think about our show on Monday night, a lot of people are upset of the truth that was shared. But like the Apostle Paul say, are you going to get upset with us because we told you the truth and God's word? And today the lines are still open. If you said something that is not true, ladies, by all means, please call us so next week we can apologize openly to the Bahamian public that we said something wrong. Because by all means, if we said something wrong with you, that means we are believing a lie. And that means you're not being faithful to the scripture that you are your brother's keeper. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul Miller.
This is Renrick Bill.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.